You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 18 October. We had Chinese year-on-year GDP earlier this morning, 4.6%. Better than the market expected, which was 4.5%. But of course, the party wants 5%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skulklo from PSG Old Oak. Updates from Premier Food, Mondi and Arsenal Mittal Zuid-Afrika. I don't know, the good, the poor, the ugly. Chatting with Redefine CFO. They've restructured almost 28 billion rand of debt into an evergreen funding arrangement. I'm keen to get details on how this perhaps changes the situation for them. And thoughts from me, when you're holding a stock and someone such as Warren Buffett sells their stock off, do you panic? Or should you respond? Remember when he sold Apple? Well, it's gone back up since then. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from the Financial Times. BP Billiton chief sparks fresh Anglo bid speculation after he visited South Africa this week. Business Day, Kenyatta calls for some ambitious inflation, a more ambitious rather, inflation target in a season of reforms to SA's macroeconomic discussion is too pessimistic. I think he's right. We need to have this discussion. Our inflation target should be lower, but we need to talk about it. Morning markets, yours was mixed. S&P down a point, 0.02% down. NASDAQ up a 0.1%. East is mostly green. Sydney, the exception of 0.7%. Tokyo up 0.5%. Hong Kong 1%. And Tencent 1.1% higher. Commodities mostly green. Gold, 2,724. That's a new all-time high. Brent, 74.61. Platinum is red, 1,009. And then palladium, 1,056. The rand is 17.63. Bitcoin, 67,900. Top 40 opening call, 90 points to the downside. That's 0.1% in the red.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with our Skulklo, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning time. We're in that part of the year where we haven't got results coming through, but we've got the trading updates all hitting. Premier Food Group, relatively new listing to the JSE. On the surface, headline earnings up 25 to 33%. Quite nice, but they do state group has achieved moderate revenue growth. This really is margins, efficiencies, which I suppose is a good thing. Revenue growth would be nice, but if you can expand margins, not bad either.
Yes, good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the listeners. You're 100% right. It's one of these results, and just to some background, I mean, Premier Group, they actually had a solid, you know, run in the share price recently. So sort of anticipated this well, let's call it earnings, you know, growth. Trading update stating that, as you mentioned, revenue really sort of iffish, not you know, too much growth, but you can expect that. We're sitting in an environment which, you know, most companies out there is struggling, you know, in terms of high interest rates and lower demand, those type of things. So when I looked at this trading update, I got a feeling of a company that really just did the basics right. They focused on margin management, cost saving initiatives, you know, operational efficiencies, those type of things, and that really pulled through clearly through the earnings. How does, you know, the saying always go, and for my next trick? Now, I think this is going to be the big thing. I mean, we want to see what Premier Group is going to do next. You know, can they start focusing on revenue growth as we go into a lower interest rate cycle, those type of things. But in essence, I thought was looking good.
And I got to say, I mean, to your point, management doing the right, the things that they can control. We often talk that, you know, they can't control commodity prices, etc. What they can control, they do. And we want to see that. That is an important statement from management to say we are on top of our business.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, and that's what we're going to get to, because I loved your intro. Yeah, the good, the bad and ugly, whatever you call it, the good, the poor and the ugly. I don't know, but it was a lovely, lovely intro, because, you know, all three of these companies have brought out trading statements, and we're going to touch on that in the next two. Yeah, had one thing in common, and that's that the input cost, these higher commodity prices definitely impacting them, clearly stating, telling us that maybe the inflation goes not under control yet. This morning we heard China coming out with a little bit of better than expected GDP. Yes, not 5% yet, but we know that they've only now started, not the bazooka, but they did start some stimulus, and that could be inflationary as well.
Yeah. And we also had some Japanese inflation, which is sitting at 2.3, which for Japan is a giant number. You mentioned there are others. There's Mondi. I got to say, I mean, they talk around a planned maintenance, forestry fair value loss. I get that. They're basically saying their trees are worth a little bit less. And it's tough out there. I thought the market was maybe a little bit tough on the Mondi update. Or did you think it was a fair response? Because, I mean, the stock's down to, I mean, lows for the year.
Yeah, this is one of these companies. I mean, in one of my recent articles, I actually wrote where I would position, and I think one of the main areas I'll look at is defensive stocks. Now, Mondi sort of fits the bill. And for the listeners out there, you know, this is a company that produces the packaging. If you've positive on companies that's going to be focusing on online sales and online deliveries, very much like we know it, that they take a lot. Those packagings are made, you know, by Mondi. So it's a very defensive type of stock. They've been on the wrong side, let's call it, of the curve. I mean, they had a largish investment in a Russian mill, which they recently sold, luckily, but that sort of put some pressure on the share price. They did recover very, very nicely. I love the trading update. So I can say this, I'm not a shareholder in the company, but I actually love the update, because they mentioned how they focus both on organic growth and also these acquisitions. They recently did that acquisition in Germany, that Schumacher, at which they already mentioned is going to, you know, create, you know, quite a bit of capacity. Also, they clearly mentioned that you mentioned that the fair value loss, that was 90 million euros out of the school at 223 million euro EBITDA. So I wouldn't be too worried about the decline in the EBITDA. They also mentioned the seasonal demand and also high input costs. Very, very important, again, that input cost. I did think that the results, I think they maybe been hit unfairly yesterday, and I think as the market digests the trading update and actual results come through, might be a different story.
Yeah, and if my house is anything to go by, my household, I mean, we've got about half of the Mondi boxes arrived just this week. Arsenal Mittal, yo. I mean, this was the ugly. I mean, the market responded, I think, in kind to an update that had some areas of positivity, China production coming down in July and August, but not much beyond that one line to really hang on to.
I get that saying zero to zero again. I mean, this is a company that's been trading at pennies. I mean, trading at cents, 80 cents or so, last year, February. Earlier this year, February, went up to you know, close to 2.14 rand, and now back to, you know, these 1 rand levels. One should just take in consideration that the steel price has been under, you know, massive, massive pressure. We've seen a decline in the steel prices. So that's a very, very important point. As we sit here, you know, the 1 year result for steel prices, 11% down, but over the past month, again, 6.6% higher. They also mentioned that the demand from China did not come through. This is sort of a trend with companies dealing with China. We've seen it recently in some of these luxury goods results as well, LVMH being one of them, stating very much that the Chinese demand is a little bit lower. But I don't know. It's a very, very, very bad one. Highly, highly cyclical. Also mentioning, you know, declining purchasing power, monetary tightening, and very much, very important, the geopolitical issues did put some pressure. Will I see any one of these three you know, points being resolved over the shorter term? No, I don't think so. So we need, you know, higher demand for steel, you know, for Arsenal to actually really show some serious recovery.
Yep. And to the listeners out there, go find that chart, zoom it out all the way. June 2008, 265 Rand. Skelklo, PSG, Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning, and that's our poll on LinkedIn and Twitter. Any of the three that you're looking at and you're thinking, I like that. Maybe none of them for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm Jonathan Tobeko-Nyawo, Redefined CFO. Tobeko, appreciate the time today. Redefined's restructured at, 27.7 billion of debt into an evergreen funding arrangement. First question, what's an evergreen funding arrangement?
Simon, thank you. Look, what it really is and what it means is that it will exist into a perpetuity alongside our business and our long-term strategic growth opportunities that we see. So it doesn't have a timeline when it terminates. And that's one of the features that really makes it an evergreen structure in terms of how we've collaborated with our key funders in the SA market. Just, I think in total, it involved 11 secured funders that we worked with to put this effort, which we're very proud of, Simon.
I like the idea. I delve into lots of it. Two questions. Does it, in a sense, give Redefine a competitive advantage? Because you've got that almost that security of funding without worrying about debt maturity and the like. And does it reduce costs?
You know, the way we think about it is that it really makes Redefine to sell its debt in the market in the best possible way that's aligned to the core of our investment philosophy as a diversified REIT. Because we then put properties, I think this structure is made up of 127 properties out of our SA portfolio. That's about 72% of our South African portfolio. It's shared equally then amongst funders. So to your point, you can really see then that from a credit appetite point of view going forward, we really believe it will enhance it because it gives our lenders the true diversified nature of our asset platform and really then gives Redefine a balance sheet a very good ability to support its long-term strategic growth plan.
Yeah, almost in a sense, the cliched strong balance sheet. It's a pool of investors, a pool of security, rather than the traditional bilateral. It would be you and one lender. And I imagine particularly for the lenders, this works well for them as well. I mean, it sounds a little weird because it's lenders who would often be competing for your business, working together, but this probably makes them happier too.
It absolutely makes it very easy because I think all lenders have got an equal footing to the security, which really is a beauty for the lenders in the structure, is that all the prime assets that are making the core cash generation of our ability, of our business, of our portfolio, is actually shared on an equal footing, depending on the exposure that the lender will have, but it's shared on an equal footing because that's why then we have the common terms that govern how the lenders collaborate with us in putting such a massive structure together.
Do each of the lenders come in at the same terms? I mean, is this evergreen funding arrangement, is it a single term and all the lenders are maybe different amounts, but same sort of terms?
Absolutely. So it's just a practical example that if we were to release a property, there's a very agreed upfront mechanism in the CTA that gives, because remember, Redefine is an active asset manager.
Yeah.
We recycle capital out of properties as part of our strategy. Mm-hmm. So that is already agreed. There is a decision framework. It tells us if it's less than 1.5% of the portfolio, it's actually just a notification to the lenders. If it's more than that, it goes into majority lenders. And then anything above 2.5% actually then goes to the decision making by all the lenders. So it's really giving the flexibility to run the business, but also to your point, it gives the comfort on the lenders in terms of how they actually got to operate and run the business going forward alongside us.
Is this a first for South Africa? Is this a first for REITs globally?
Not a first, but I think given the size of it in the South African market, I think we've restructured 27.7 billion rand of debt, and the property values out of the 127 properties that we put in here is 46.3 billion rand of assets, which makes a significant part of our balance sheet, which is about 72% of the South African portfolio. So it's significant. And also, I think some of the structures that we've seen in the market have got that are set up for a certain period, whereas ours is set as being an evergreen structure.
Gotcha. You've mentioned the point around how, and REITs generally, I mean, you're trading in and out of different assets as circumstances change, as needs change as well. This, I imagine, is going to fundamentally, it's going to sort of shift the future of sustainable funding due to its size, but also just due to its flexibility and kind of change the landscape for Redefine, but perhaps even for the South African REIT sector.
I think you're right. So I think for us, creating a sustainable funding vehicle is very central to our business model as a REIT, as you quite point out. What we did here is that I think what you're seeing today is a very intense efforts that was coming out of collaboration, which we really appreciate, out of 11 funders that has got a mixture of the banks in South Africa, as well as some large institutional funders that are in there. So in total, we collaborated with 11 funders. And I think to your point, then for us into the future, what it really does, it gives us the business, the ability to efficiently source capital. But also what we like about the structure is that it broadens our funding sources because we've got an ability now to bring other funders into this structure. So it really supports the strategic premise of a balance sheet for a REIT in our view, which is to really help Redefine in pursuing its long-term strategic growth ambitions.
27.7 billion. Is there scope within the structure to increase this over time? Obviously, this is more than sufficient for your current needs, but if we roll forward, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, is there scope to increase the value and maybe also a 12th funder sort of knocking on the door saying, can I come along as well?
Absolutely. There is an opportunity to do that. So if you think about it, naturally, we expect our business will grow. Mm-hmm. And then as part of that growth, it will come in as we're able to raise, and there's room in the balance sheet to raise more debt. It's a plug and play, which is the green, the evergreen part of the structure. You can refinance with the existing funders, or seamlessly so, you can also bring other funders that are going to sign up in the structure.
A last question. Was this an initiative sort of driven from Redefine, your colleagues thinking, let's approach lenders and see what their response would be? Or was this a lender-driven initiative?
Definitely a Redefine-led initiative. It's part of our bigger strategic direction. I mean, I think we've been very clear that we want to innovate around how we raise debt. But secondly, we really also want to broaden our funding sources in terms of making sure we don't create any massive liquidity events in the future. So as part of that, we started really collaborating with our funders who have been, I mean, which is really the thing here for us, is that these are the funders that have been on the funding table with Redefine. Mm-hmm. But what they've done now is to shift and agree on a common security pool, which is evergreen, and it really supports then the strategic drive that we're trying to put into managing a very sound balance sheet through market cycles.
We'll leave you there. That's Ntobeko Nyawo. He's Redefine CFO. Really appreciate the time and the insights. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
So thoughts on going back to, what was it? It was early August, an announcement from Berkshire Hathaway that they had sold down 56% of their stake in Apple. This was early August. The stock had been trading at around 220 ahead of that announcement and quickly went all the way down to $195. All the talk headlines screamed, is it over for Apple? The Oracle of Omaha is selling and everything is disaster. And well, now we know the answer 2.5 months later, and it's no, Apple has subsequently recovered from that 195 and traded last night, closed at a 232.15. Point is, don't worry what others are doing. I mean, none of us are Warren Buffett. We have no idea why he's selling. Now, maybe in time he'll be right. Maybe the Apple price will collapse in a heap. But what matters is that your strategy is yours. It's unique to you. Sure, it's hard to stick to your guns when the world's best investor is selling. Maybe you want to double down on your research. Maybe you want to double check what your thinking is. But knee-jerk responses just because others are doing something are never the right response. That's it for today. We were chatting with Marsha Mayaba yesterday from TransUnion. We're talking about vehicle sales, the trend to second-hand vehicles as prices rise, and the fact that it is 100 years of manufacturing vehicles in South Africa. We asked your question, was your last vehicle new or second-hand? Two-thirds said second-hand for the win. A third of you said, nope, new, you like that new car smell. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday, medium-term budget policy statement review.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.